Hi, I'm Clarice Larson with KTOO. In October, Juneau voters rejected a new city hall for the second year in a row. Now, facing expiring leases and maintenance issues, the city is looking for new office space for its employees. City Manager Katie Kester says renting somewhere that could house all city functions would benefit city staff and the public.
If there's a way that we can consolidate those public-facing departments to make it a little bit less of a rabbit trail for the public to try to, you know, pay their bills and get their permits and get their pool pass, that's the focus that we will be having.
City Hall holds less than half of the city's employees. This fall, the city unsuccessfully sought approval from voters to fund a new City Hall through a $27 million bond. That building would have housed all its employees. At a committee meeting Monday night, the Juneau Assembly asked staff to find office spaces the city could rent. Right now, those employees work in four rented office spaces in buildings downtown. Renting those costs more than $800,000 each year. The leases for one of those spaces, the Marine View building, is set to expire this summer. The city could renew it, but Kester says the space has its problems.
It's been a really challenging lease, and we've had some violations because of the water issues.
The city is looking at three scenarios, which range from finding space for all city employees to finding a space just for staff who work in the Marine View building. Kester says city staff will share the results of the search with the assembly in the coming months. She says the results could inform how the city should invest in the current city hall, which needs about $14 million in repairs and maintenance. Governor Mike Dunleavy outlined a variety of ideas to address Alaska's energy needs in his budget proposal. From natural gas to power lines to financing, Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone took a closer look at a few.
First, there's the immediate concern. South Central Alaska is running out of natural gas. State officials warned last January that by 2027, established fields in Cook Inlet likely won't produce enough gas to supply Alaska's largest population centers. Cook Inlet gas provides 80 to 90% of the Rail Belt's heat and electricity, according to a report from the governor's Alaska Energy Security Task Force. Governor Mike Dunleavy says the state will provide incentives.
We're working on an initiative on Cook Inlet gas. We believe there's a lot of gas in Cook Inlet, and we just got to get it out of the ground and get it to get into the pipe.
In a recent op-ed in the Anchorage Daily News, Dunleavy said he planned to introduce a bill to, quote, improve the economics of gas production in Cook Inlet. The bill text hasn't been made public, but Dunleavy's office said in October that the proposal would reduce minimum royalties on new projects with an additional cut to royalties for the first 10 years of production. He pitched it during his budget release and tied it to efforts to lower the cost of living through stable energy supplies.
We've got to make this an inviting place for people with families. We got to make this an inviting place for young folks to be able to afford.
But it's unclear whether breaks on royalties would spur enough drilling to ease supply concerns. This year's royalty-free lease sale, that instead relied on profit sharing, yielded only six bids. And that's similar to other recent sales, according to the Alaska Beacon. Dunleavy also referenced the long-hoped-for Alaska LNG project. That's a pipeline that would bring North Slope gas to Nikiski. Despite reports of ambivalence from potential gas customers, Dunleavy said he's optimistic.
That prospect is still being discussed at high levels in boardrooms around the world. I came back from New York and Washington about a month and a half ago, had discussions with folks in some of the investment houses. There is still a desire to get a project going.
Dunleavy's not the only one with ideas to address the looming gas shortage. House Speaker Kathy Tilton, a Republican from Wasilla, says it's a priority for her caucus.
I think you'll see that it being one of the top priorities of the legislature, not just Cook Inlet gas, but energy overall and bringing the cost down for Alaskans.
She said House Energy Committee Chair George Rauscher plans to introduce a pair of bills at the start of next year's legislative session to address the issue. An Energy Committee spokesperson said Rauscher, a Sutton Republican, was unavailable for an interview, and Tilton declined to provide details, saying she hadn't been briefed. A group of Democratic and Independent House members called for a shift towards renewable energy in an Anchorage Daily News write-up, while also recognizing the need to maintain existing gas production. Another piece of energy policy Dunleavy outlined during his budget rollout is a wide-ranging plan to upgrade the state's largest electrical grid.
Our transmission lines, in many cases on the rail belt, they're old, outdated, and what we want to do is be able to upgrade those lines so that we can put much more power on those lines in anticipation of new energy sources coming into Alaska.
In November, the Biden administration announced a $206 million grant for the Alaska Energy Authority. The money would go towards a variety of grid upgrades, including an undersea cable connecting the Kenai Peninsula to a power station on the west side of Cook Inlet, plus two battery facilities to smooth out variations in wind and solar generation. The grant requires a dollar-for-dollar state match spread over several years, which is not yet included in the governor's budget, says Budget Director Lacey Sanders.
We just received word about this funding availability, and it's going to take a little bit of time for us to get a plan that's well-developed.
House Minority Leader Calvin Schrange says power line upgrades would be transformative for the Rail Belt power grid. The Anchorage Independent and former Energy Committee chair points to the Bradley Lake Hydroelectric Dam on the Kenai Peninsula, which the Alaska Energy Authority says provides some of the cheapest power in the state.
We have an inability to expand that and move the electricity that's needed in the interior up to the interior due to the transmission lines being limited. That electricity gets bottlenecked. So by improving our transmission lines, we can continue to build out renewables that we know work and are very low cost and move them to the places where they need electricity most.
Dunleavy also called on lawmakers to create a so-called green bank, which would help finance renewable energy and efficiency programs.
We're hoping it gets passed this year. That'll be able to, from some estimates, turn $1 into $9 additional dollars with private sector money as well as some grants.
The governor introduced bills last session that would create the Alaska Energy Independence Fund within the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, but the bills didn't make it out of committee before the House and Senate adjourned for the year. When it analyzed the bill earlier this year, the State Department of Revenue recommended seeding the account with roughly $40 million split between state and federal funds. Schrage says he's a fan of the idea, which he says has been successful in other states.
For example, if you want to put a rooftop solar project in at your house, that can oftentimes be very cost prohibitive up front. So what this would do is it would create new funding sources to help people deploy these renewable projects.
The House and Senate convened January 16th to start working through the proposals. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
The Alaska Housing Finance Corporation has offered Ketchikan $4.5 million to build affordable housing units. That's according to the Ketchikan Borough Mayor, Ronnie Dial, who attended the Alaska Municipal League Conference in Anchorage earlier this month. At the conference, Dial and other community representatives from Ketchikan and nearby Saxman met with the Housing Corporation to discuss their current housing crisis. Dial says the corporation offered $4.5 million to Ketchikan on the promise that the community builds a total of 8 affordable housing units by 2025.
I just feel really proud of how we've all worked together to try to bring these funds into Ketchikan because they could have been sent anywhere. You know, there's housing needs all over the state. And so we're just going to do everything we can to make this a win for the community.
Dial says the borough is going to help distribute the funds. It is not necessarily a borough project, though. He says this is a collaborative effort across the city, borough, and the city of Saxman.
You know, if we put housing anywhere, it's a benefit to the entire community. So what it looks like we're going to do at this point is the borough is going to identify where some land is that's suitable for this.
Wherever that land is, it will be outside city limits. Dial says the city indicated that they do not currently have any lots suitable for construction of the affordable housing units. It's still unclear if Saxman or the borough will lead the charge on this construction to meet the 2025 deadline. Landless legislation passed a new milestone last week after winning approval of the Senate Energy and Natural Resource Committee. The bill still has a long way to go to become law. But if it does, it would return land to the original occupants of 5 Alaska Native communities in Southeast Alaska. Those communities were left out of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971. Senator Lisa Murkowski, who sponsored the bill, said in a statement that the omission was, quote, hampering their ability to support development and opportunities while protecting their traditional ways of life. Alaskans have been trying to right this wrong for 51 years, unquote. ANCSA put millions of acres of land in control of more than 200 newly formed locals and regional Alaska Native corporations. Cecilia Tavalero is a landless delegate from Petersburg and the chair of Southeast Alaska Landless Corporation Board. She was in the room when the bill passed through committee.
Well, everybody was elated. We were so happy. But we understand there's a lot more work to do.
There has never been a clear explanation as to why Petersburg, Ketchikan, Wrangell, Haines, and Tenneke Spring were not included in ANCSA. Tonight will be mostly cloudy in Juneau with a high near 31. Southeast winds around 5 p.m. Tonight, snow mainly around 9 p.m., temperatures falling to nearly 28 by 8 p.m., then rising to around 35 during the remainder of the night. Southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. In Juneau, you're listening to Clarice Larson. Thank you.